Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border, and we're going through the Proverbs, and we'll move on here. I think I spent enough time on verse 1 there of Proverbs chapter 11. Verse 2, when pride cometh, then cometh shame, but with the lowly is wisdom. And of course there the word lowly would be humble, with the humble, those that are humble or humble themselves. The integrity of the upright shall guide them, but the perverseness of transgressors shall destroy them. And of course, transgressor there means those that transgress the laws of our Heavenly Father, that transgress His commandments. The riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. And go back to what Yahshua said. He said, after all these things, do the nations seek, or the Gentiles, it's translated in the King James Version. They seek riches. That's their life. That's what it's all about. That's what the world seeks after. The riches, the things that money can buy, that ever elusive dollar that keeps shrinking in value. Riches profit not in the day of wrath. When the day comes that they stand before the judge of the universe, that will be a day of wrath for them. Not for us. Not for those of us who seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, because it says here, but righteousness delivereth from death. And that's the promise that we have by entering into His kingdom. That's the promise that He brought to us by His Redeemer, is that deliverance from death. You can pay the price for your own sins. Bad deal. You know, I mean, there's several deals out there. You're born, you're going to pay the price for your sins. But our Creator comes along and He has an offer. He says, He said to those that before Christ, He said to them, I'm going to send my Redeemer who will redeem you, and His shed blood will cover your sins, and then you'll be raised at that day. And those that had faith, and the deal was that they would choose to live a life of obedience to Him. Didn't mean they would be perfect, because they could never even wipe out their past sin. Or they could say, you know what? I think I'll just pay the price for my own sins. That option's been available from the beginning. Adam and Eve could have chosen that. Glad they didn't. And the evidence is there that they were looking forward to the Redeemer. You can see that in the, if you go through the book of Genesis, and you can find that study that we did in Genesis on my website at crosstheborder.org. I advise anyone who has never studied the book of Genesis with these things in mind to go back there and open up those studies and open up your Bible and open up your mind to His kingdom from the beginning of time with the first remnant, the first ecclesia being Adam and Eve. So they looked forward, and then we look back to what Christ did, the same faith, and we know, we believe that His blood covers our sins so that we don't have to pay the price for our sins, because there's no way we can and escape death. Yes, we can pay the price for our own sins, but that escaping death part, well, since the wages of sin is death, we can pay the price, and yes, then we're dead, and we're dead for a long, long, long time. That's why I like His plan better, and to choose a life of obedience to Him and take advantage of what He did for us by becoming a man and shedding His blood for us. And it says, for God, for Yah so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish. And speaking of perishing, verse 4, but righteousness delivereth from death. The righteousness of the perfect shall direct his way, but the wicked shall fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright shall deliver them, but transgressors shall be taken in their own naughtiness. When a wicked man dies, when a wicked man dieth, his expectation shall perish, and the hope of unjust men perishes. If you're unjust, if you're wicked, transgressor, that's it. All of your hope, Your riches won't do you any good in the day of judgment, in the day of wrath. Riches profit not. The righteous is delivered out of trouble, and the wicked cometh in his stead. Ah, yes, and it means instead, the wicked will receive the trouble. A hypocrite with his mouth destroyeth his neighbor, but through knowledge shall the just be delivered. When it goes well with the righteous, the city rejoiceth, and when the wicked perish, there is shouting. By the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. He is void of understanding despises his neighbor, but a man of understanding holds his peace. Good words to live by. A tale bearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, a lot of people have this idea that I always have to tell the truth about everything, all the time, to everyone. Of course, that's kind of what they teach in the world, that you always have to tell the truth. Well, you know, sometimes you don't have to tell the truth. Sometimes you need to just keep your mouth shut. I mean, seriously. Because there's some truths that should be concealed. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. Some things need to be concealed. You know, I met someone once, and their parents, grandparents had committed some atrocious sins that, abuse and so forth that had affected them greatly. And this one felt that it was needful to tell the truth about everything. Yet the scripture also says, well, one of the commandments is to honor your father and mother. Well, more than anything, that commandment means to obey. But what if your parents are ungodly or commit atrocious sins and then they pass on? How do you honor them then? Well, the commandment means to obey, but it also could be looked at this way. Don't dishonor your mother and your father, because that's the opposite of honor. And how could you dishonor them? Well, by telling the truth of things that affected you in the past, the sins or maybe even atrocious things that your parents committed, you're dishonoring them. You may be telling the truth, but it's a dishonor. And not only are you dishonor them, because if you dishonor your parents, you dishonor yourself. So sometimes it's better. He that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You don't have to tell everything. Some truths aren't needful to be told. Sometimes the truth, well, without love can be cruel. Basically, that's it. Without love, the truth can be cruel. So it's not always necessary to tell the truth. Of course, you should always tell the truth to your superior. I believe that. And our one superior is our creator. You know, we should always be honest with him, because the fact is, you know, can you lie to God? Well, many people do. But they're deceiving themselves, because they certainly aren't deceiving him. And a self-deception is basically, by definition, is lying to God. Because, you know, you really can't deceive yourself too, but you think maybe you can. I mean, a lot of people do it. We've all done it. We've all been self-deceived, because sometimes it's just more comfortable to believe a lie. Especially when it's about us and things that we don't like, or things about our past or things we've done or about who we are, that is not right. But if we don't tell the truth to ourselves and to our God, then there is no repentance, and without repentance there is no forgiveness. So we should always tell the truth to those in authority, in godly authority according to his kingdom government. We should always tell the truth to those in authority over us. But I don't think it's needful to tell everyone everything all the time. I think that we do need to use some discernment and certainly pray about it. So we have this verse here that says, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And so we're not talking about we're not just talking about, slander here. I don't even see that being hinted to in this scripture here. We're talking about reality. Some things just need to be forgotten and let alone. What did Paul say? He said about the things that are done in secret of certain people should not even be discussed. Doesn't matter if it's true. Just because something is true doesn't mean that we need to tell it or that we need to talk about it. I hope that makes sense. Okay, let's move on. Verse 14 of chapter 11. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. And of course we want godly counsel, because the scripture also says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. So let's let our multitude of counselors be godly counselors, and then we can be sure and we can be safe in the way that we walk. Where no counsel is, the people fall. It's not a good thing to stand on your own. And if you have nobody, well, then you have his word. Get to know it. There's no better counsel than him and his Holy Spirit. And, you know, a lot of people, they think they get revelation from the Spirit of God. But I'll tell you what, any time you get any revelation from the Spirit of God and it goes against his word, I'm sorry, it's not the Spirit of God. Because one thing I found, that his counsel is good and his Spirit will never go against his word. So you have all these people out there thinking they can break God's law because it's all right. Well, that Spirit that's telling them that it's okay to break God's law, that God understands why you can't keep his law, why you have a special case. That's called a lying spirit, because it's contrary to his word. It's contrary to his commandments and it's contrary to his law. And that's a lying, deceiving spirit. You know, like the one who says you can have an abortion, or that it's all right for you to have a lover, or for you to commit adultery, or for you to leave your marriage without a lawful cause, or whatever the case may be. Any spirit, any feeling that it's okay for you, or any counsel you may even receive down at the corner edifice where there may be a so-called pastor. Now, you can always find one to tell you what you want, whatever you want to hear. There's always bad counsel out there, and that's why it's so important to know his word, to know his law, to know his commandments, and have understanding of his ways according to the word and instruction that he's given us, so that if any contrary spirit comes, we know that it's counterfeit and we won't get carried away by that. Where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Verse 15 of chapter 11. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. I love that. But, you know, this goes back to what we've talked about so much, surety. And that's, surety would cover one thing, making co-signing for strangers. Yeah. But who would co-sign for a stranger? I mean, really, you know, think about it. He that is surety for a stranger, who would co-sign for a stranger? Nobody. That'd be like me walking up to you and saying, hey, can I get you to co-sign on this, you know, this note for me? Yeah, I'm going to get me a brand new car. You want to co-sign for me? You know, I don't know you from Jack, man. You know, how do I know? You just take the vehicle and I have to make all the payments. You know, so there's something more going on here. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. There's something else going on here. Surety for a stranger. That means when you become responsible for an ongoing obligation for people that you don't know. Of course, I'm thinking, you know, the scripture also says the opposite. Whoever doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So we got a contrary scripture there, something that's opposite to it. So we could say, he that is surety for his neighbor, he that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, but whoever doesn't take care of his own is worse than an infidel. So what I see here is that it is inadvisable to sign up for anything where you become responsible for the debts or care of other people by contract, by covenant. It's enough to take care of your own. And if you want to give to the poor, then give to them. Why should you sign a contract that requires you to, on an ongoing basis in the future that you don't know? You know, remember that, what's the other scripture? Don't say, tomorrow I will go and I will, you know, do this or that, because you don't know what tomorrow brings. That's an unwise thing to do. And I forget the exact quote from the Messiah, but any of you that know scripture, you know what I'm talking about, that if God wills, tomorrow. Well, you can't sign a contract, you know. I mean, if you could put all your contracts and all your contracts, if God wills, you know, I will participate in this scheme where I'm required to give a portion of my labor for the rest of my life to take care of strangers, if God wills. Well, that voids the contract right there. That makes it worthless, because who gets to decide if God wills? But whoever's signing the contract, you know. I mean, that's it. Oh, well, yeah, God spoke to me and he wills for me not to do this. See, so that clause in any contract would void it. Absolutely. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it. You know, the more I dig in, the more I find out how ungodly all of these contracts and things that we voluntarily enter into. And, you know, you get a clue here. Anytime they say, you have to sign here, well, what they're not saying that you are required by law to sign here. What they're saying is that you have to sign here if you want to participate in this. Otherwise, they don't need your signature. You know, you don't have to sign a contract saying I'm not going to murder anyone, you know, that allows you, therefore, because you didn't sign a contract, now you get to go out and murder people. Yeah, I mean, if you murder someone, they don't need your permission to prosecute you. However, if you don't sign an agreement to do something, they can't prosecute you for not living up to the contract. You know, it's like this. The army can't come to my house and say, you're AWOL, buddy. I say, what? I'm AWOL. I never signed an agreement saying I would be there. Anytime you have to sign anything, anytime you put your signature down, what you're doing is a voluntary act. You are voluntarily entering into an agreement. You are becoming surety for something, perhaps for yourself, perhaps for your neighbor, and perhaps for someone you love. But perhaps you're becoming surety for a stranger, and perhaps you're casting in your lot and having one purse with the wicked. Which, as we started out in the Proverbs, we found out that that was not a good thing to do. When they say, do this, cast in your lot with us, let us all have one purse. And an additional part of the contract is that you become surety for a stranger. So there it is, a practical application in today's society and world of becoming surety for a stranger. And insurance is like that too. You become surety for a stranger. You agree, you know. Although that's another thing where if you stop paying, that your suretyship is over at the moment you stop paying. But what if the law requires you to become surety for strangers, to participate in a scheme where you all have one purse? Well, that's an unjust law, isn't it? It's an interesting thought, isn't it? Yes. He that is surety for a stranger shall smart for it, and he that hateth suretyship is sure. Well, I'm going to tell you what, I hate. I hate suretyship, and I'm sure of it too. Let me tell you that. That's a kind of a funny play on words. He that hateth suretyship is sure. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 16. A gracious woman retaineth honor, and strong men retain riches. Well, I'll tell you what, if you got too much suretyship for strangers going on, you ain't retained your riches. As a matter of fact, they're passing laws that require you, if you're in the world and of it, if you're a card-carrying member of their unjust weight and balance monetary system, then you are required, because one agreement leads to another. Then you're required to enter into suretyship, or what the heck, you've already done it anyway, because you've signed up for the deal. And you don't retain your riches. It says here, strong men retain riches. So if you want to retain riches, you're going to hate suretyship. A gracious woman retaineth honor. And the word there, gracious, having to do with thankfulness, grateful. And how would she be grateful? Well, she would be grateful to God. She would give him the thanks for everything that she has. She would look to him as her provider. A gracious woman retaineth honor. And strong men retain riches. And time flies. I guess I'm having fun here. And yes, getting into his word, it is fun. You're listening to Cross the Border. We'll be back in a few minutes. Don't go anywhere.